You're listening to The Source News on 4EB Global Digital.
For news you need to know, listen to The Source News every Tuesday and Thursday at 5pm.
The Source News, for your local news in and around Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Source News, produced by Griffith University Journalism and Communications students. I'm Kelly McHugh. Here with me today is Wade Howe-Fraser. Welcome, Wade.
Hello, how is everyone today?
Very good, thank you. We've also got Kayla McLean. Welcome, Kayla.
Hi, so excited to be here. Hope everyone's doing well.
Yeah, so good so far. We've got a bit on for you today. Lots to cover because today is Universal Access to Information Day. So on our show, we'll be looking at the current pricing information suppression happening in Brisbane's property market at present. We'll also be hearing from Jasmine Camp on how national security laws affect press freedoms and our right to blow the whistle. We'll also be looking at how digital technology helps some access information but makes it more difficult for marginalised Australians. Then we'll take an in-depth look at press freedoms in Australia. So we've got a lot to unpack with you, but first, a look at today's news.
Queensland recorded 4 new local COVID-19 cases today. Brisbane mask restrictions have immediately been reintroduced in southeast Queensland, with Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk announcing vaccinations for truck drivers now being mandatory. A 5.8 magnitude earthquake has struck the Greek islands of Crete. One person is dead and hundreds of homes have been severely damaged, while the injured are being treated at a local hospital. The Greek government says inspections are beginning and resources are currently being sent to the island. In other news, Children's Advocate is urging Facebook not to go ahead with the kids' version of the photo-sharing app Instagram. Townsville Stadium is preparing to potentially hold the 2021 NRL Grand Final. There is concern that the sellout game may not be able to go ahead at Suncorp Stadium due to the current COVID-19 outbreak in Brisbane. The NRL says that they are not concerned about the potential change, but have emphasised the next 48 hours absolutely critical. To the weather, a grey week ahead for Brisbane, with tops of 21 today and incoming rain and storms on Thursday and Friday. The weather report is not as bad as the report for the 28th of September in 1887, when the Yellow River, or traditionally the Huanghe River, flooded and killed anywhere between 900,000 and 2 million people. It's one of the deadliest recorded natural disasters in history.
Today is the 28th of September, the 271st day of the year. It has been a very interesting 271 days, with COVID still taking a toll on the country. Earthquakes, storms, historical sporting matches, the death of Prince Philip, the vaccine rollout, and communities are pulling together. With only 94 days left of 2021, it's definitely going to be another year for the history books.
Now to our theme of Universal Access to Information Day. The property market in Brisbane is skyrocketing, with plenty of property owners taking full advantage of this prime time to sell. However, many local real estate agents are opting to advertise properties without price guides or taking the properties to auction to avoid the price conversation altogether. The suppression of pricing information is causing frustration and distress for active Brisbane buyers. Here's Kelly McHugh with more.
Since the beginning, the Brisbane property market has soared, with more and more buyers being priced out of property. Many local buyers are struggling with the overwhelming lack of pricing information, as both real estate agents and sellers take advantage of the current buying competition. Properties are coming to market with either no advertised price at all or they're heading to auction. In Queensland, legislation prevents agents from discussing price information with buyers at auction, which in the current market means most buyers are flying blind. First home buyer Brandon Cousins has been hunting for a house in Brisbane's inner east suburbs for almost 8 months, but keeps being outbid by desperate buyers.
So it's just hard to gauge pricing. People these days are paying way overs for things just because they've made money in property previously. And then the pricing up here, you think it's going to be a certain number, and these people are paying way over, which just boosts the price of everywhere else, making it even more impossible. Houses are just ridiculous now. Trying to buy anywhere that is a semi-decent suburb is just out of reach. Your normal sort of townhouses even, normal houses is just unbelievable. There's no shot in actually getting it, especially being a single person. Maybe if you're a couple, you might have a shot, but even then it's a bit out of reach because it's just been going gangbusters.
Local buyers like Brandon are finding themselves in the middle of a bidding war between interstate buyers from New South Wales and Victoria. Due to such a high demand in stock, prices are driven higher and higher, which leaves agents wary of placing a price guide on their listings in order to avoid capping the potential sale price. Auctions have become increasingly popular throughout this market spike, and clearance rates are on the rise. It can be difficult for agents to accurately value a property due to the rapid spike in demand. Auction removes some of that burden by allowing buyer competition to determine the price. While this strategy works in favour of both the seller and the agents in the current market, it leaves many buyers without any form of indication of where property values lie.
They can't even talk to you about what the price is going to be if it's going to auction or what they're wanting because it's an auction. It's bad enough trying to gauge the price now, but it's like they intentionally withhold the pricing just to add to it, just to make it even more out of reach. They tell you to do your own research and check out comparable sales in the same sort of area, but the prices last month aren't going to be the same as the prices this month. It's already changing.
Even without auction, many local agents are electing to remove advertised pricing from their listings altogether, even though there's no legislation that forces this. The combination of competition and legislative restriction on pricing at auction, along with direct suppression of pricing for private treaty sales, results in one of the toughest property markets Brisbane buyers have seen. According to CoreLogic, this is the largest price spike since the 1980s, and unfortunately for buyers like Brandon, this shows no signs of slowing anytime soon. I'm Kelly McHugh, reporting for Source News.
Thanks, Kelly. That's quite disheartening news for local buyers.
Here another On This Day fact. On this day, the Spanish flu was killing millions around the world. In the United States, the state of Philadelphia was the hardest hit, losing 12,000 people. The Liberty Loan Parade, held on this day on the 28th of September 1918, 103 years ago today, was thought to be a super spreader for the city. This is very reminiscent and prophesized of what is happening here in Australia today.
Thanks, Kayla. What a super, super uplifting On This Day fact. Thank you. Moving on, here's Jazz with a story about the state of whistleblowing in Australia under the new national security laws and what that has done to press freedoms.
Experts are saying Australian whistleblowing laws are not strong enough to break our culture of silence. And recently, Australian journalists have been caught in the crossfire as their job becomes harder to do without breaking the law. Our private sector whistleblower laws got an update in 2019. However, our public sector protections are lacking substantially, and without a recognised Commonwealth Charter of Rights, we have swayed away from some of the ideals of free speech and free press which Australia was once renowned for. We currently have a bunch of cases being prosecuted where individuals face life in prison for disclosing government wrongdoing, such as WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, David McBride, who leaked the Afghan files, and former ASIO spy Witness K. The laws around whistleblowing are complex and severe. Under no circumstance is there any protection offered for anyone speaking out on matters that may relate to national security. Here's Andrew Wilkie, the former intelligence officer who blew the whistle on the Iraq war, speaking to Get Up about the sweeping national security laws.
When you take a step back and look at them, that there is one fundamental deficiency in them, and that is that the definition of national security and the definition of foreign or foreign interference is much too broad.
Professor AJ Brown is the head author of the Clean as a Whistle report, the largest investigation into whistleblowing, and sits on the board of Transparency International. Mr. Brown is calling for a complete overhaul to our current whistleblower laws in favour of a more comprehensive and complete set.
In practice, our legal framework often doesn't actually work. It certainly doesn't work as well as it should or as it's intended to work when it comes to whistleblower protection. And similarly, although employment rights are pretty well protected at law, our fundamental rights, like fundamental civil and political rights, like rights to free speech, which affect whistleblowers if they go public, and as well affect, obviously, journalists trying to report on whistleblowing matters, those protections are really quite weak on a comparative basis around the world. So we actually have more challenges than we probably realise we have.
In Australia, investigative journalism continues to be undermined and is increasingly criminalised. Changes to the Public Interest Disclosure Act of 2013 leaves journalists, politicians, lawyers or private citizens without any form of whistleblower protection. In practice, this means a journalist can be imprisoned for merely receiving information from a government employee, even if they decide not to publish it. Compounding this problem are the sweeping metadata laws that require communication service providers to keep customers' metadata for 2 years to be accessed at any time without a warrant by law enforcement. After protests, a journalist information warrant was introduced, meaning a judge had to give permission to law enforcement to access their metadata. However, journalists are not notified about the warrant and cannot contest them in court like they can in other countries, and recent investigations have found that these warrants are being used without the appropriate permissions.
And the big problem which gets the most headlines is, of course, if public servants or intelligence officials or defence officials go public and they're prosecuted for breaching official secrets, in effect, or confidential official information, then that the law doesn't work very well to sort out whether they were justified or not, because we've got prosecutions that have been going on for months, well, years actually, unresolved, where the technicalities of the law are really impossible to sort of decipher, and that in and of itself is a lack of justice and really undermines public confidence in the transparency and accountability of government and whether whistleblowers really are protected or not.
The New York Times has suggested that Australia may well be the world's most secretive democracy due to our hyper-legislation of national security laws, all of which has had a chilling effect on press freedom.
With information, it's definitely a big problem with the fact that we've suffered such a huge creep, well, in many ways a tidal wave of legislative restrictions on information in the name of national security over the last 20 years, not a commensurate sort of clarity in what the public interest principles should be for when that information should be available.
In the digital age where citizens expect more information and more transparency, will our governments work harder to keep us in the dark through an extensive range of national security laws, or will we be able to safely report the truth? Time will tell.
In the fullness of time, you can't hold the tide back on transparency. You have to have clear and effective rules on what should be kept secret and why, and they have to be clear and they have to be realistic, which they're currently not at the moment, and then you have to have good mechanisms for sticking to those rules.
Here's Mr. Wilkie again.
The problem is that these bills go way too far. Change by change, little by little, a bit like the frog in the hot water slowly getting cooked. One day we'll get to a point and we'll take a step back and think, crikey, how did we get here? How did Australia become a police state?
That was Jasmine Camp talking to Professor A.J. Brown about national security laws and whistleblowing.
Here's today's Libra horoscope for all of our well-balanced listeners. If it seems like a duck, swims like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, then it is a duck. But you might also mistake a goose for a duck, Libra. This is just a silly way of saying something along the lines of, if something feels off to you today, you need to check it out further. There's no need to feel suspicious, just curious. As long as you investigate whatever it is that seems to be a little off or not quite right, it may have a completely innocent or innocuous reason behind it. Don't get paranoid. Just explore a little bit further. There is nothing to fear.
Another on this day fact is that 31 years ago today, Motown singer Marvin Gaye was honoured with a Hollywood Walk of Fame star. Marvin had actually died 6.5 years earlier, and it's actually quite a tragic story involving a dad, a son, and a shotgun. But we're not here to get you down on this day, so let's Marvin Gaye and get on with it.
Moving on to our next Universal Access to Information Day story. Accessing information for most of us is an easy task, but for those living with disabilities, the changing and growing digital world has made it harder than ever before. Access to information should be fair and equal for all, but with the divide growing each day, with a group already facing more struggles than most, are now fighting for knowledge. Kayla McLean reports.
Having a disability has its challenges, physical, mental, and emotional. There's also challenges we don't even think of, like accessing basic information. For most of us, this is an easy task, but for 4.4 million Australians, this can feel like an uphill battle. This is the struggle for one.
My name is Wendy Nelson. I am a 45-year-old double above the knee amputee. I lost my legs a few years back to uncontrolled infections. The medications I'm on now to keep me alive affect my short-term memory very badly. I'm lucky if I can remember what I ate for breakfast that morning some days. So I really require a paper trail of information that I can read over and over until I remember it. And finding everything online that way can be rather frustrating. I don't understand computers very well. So to have a paper trailed, sent to me in the mail, I know it's paper, I know we're going paperless, but I need another way to be able to retain the information otherwise. I really wish my memory didn't do this to me, but this is where we're at. Thank you.
Difficulty to access information also makes the job for caregivers and activists even more difficult. With no support or alternatives, it's just another battle they have to face.
Hi, my name is Casey Cahy. I am the primary carer for Wendy Nelson, who is a double amputee. As Wendy's carer, it is my job to ensure that she is safe and her needs are being met. Due to Wendy's short-term memory loss, it makes it hard to understand her personal needs as well as upcoming appointments or important events, as well as her medication. As a carer, we have limited access to important information, which makes our job very difficult. Having access to more information will help me better care for my client and better understand her needs. With more information regarding her diagnosis, etc., it would make it easier for us to better understand why she does certain things and why certain things are happening and how to react to the situation when these things happen.
Disability activist Lamia Hendy had this to say.
Accessing information for people with disabilities has always been a struggle, and since the introduction of digital technologies, the struggle has become greater. For some people, it's accessing the information itself, and for others, it's having a paper trail to remember the information. Most websites need passwords these days, which creates another barrier. While technology puts some people ahead of the trend, it's pushing disabled people further and further behind. And it's left them more in the dark about what they need to know, such as the news, about their appointments, and even the information that they need to know about their own disability. We as activists are urging the government to look into how they can make information more accessible and find out what works for people with disabilities. Knowledge is power, and while some people are powering ahead, those that are already marginalised are falling behind.
It is clear there is a big problem in the ease of accessing information for the disabled in the community, and change is critically needed to close the divide and provide people with their right to access information.
That was Kayla McLean reporting from The Source News.
While 15% of the world's population are born with a disability, let's look at some of the famous birthdays on this day. We would like to wish a very warm happy birthday to Hilary Duff, who is turning 33 today.
Happy birthday, Lizzie McGuire.
Yes, happy birthday to our queen. We love you.
For all of you absolute nerds out there, it's Nicolas Flamel's birthday today too. To muggles, he was a French alchemist born in 1330, and to wannabe wizards, he created the Philosopher's Stone. It's not all birthdays though. Let's take a look at those who didn't make it past September 28th. Edwin Hubble, the first to announce the existence of other galaxies, died at 63 in 1953. Pope John Paul I, the 263rd Roman Catholic Pope, died after 33 days as Pope at 65 in 1978. Sadly, only two members of the Beatles are still alive today. One of their biggest successes is Hey Jude. It's hit number one on the charts today in 1968 and stayed there for a record of 9 weeks. It was the longest song on the charts, with over 7 minutes in length.
As Hey Jude was cruising the charts, something else was orbiting the Earth. On this day, back in 2008, the Falcon 1 became the first privately developed, fully liquid-fueled launch vehicle to go into orbit around the Earth. The vehicle was launched a total of 5 times, however it achieved orbit on its 4th attempt on September 28th. Following its 5th and final launch, Falcon 1 was retired and succeeded by Falcon 9.
Well, so far we've covered the Beatles and some space travel. Now, here's more for our Universal Access to Information Day. Press freedom in Australia is fragile, as journalists and their sources have minimal, though complex, legal backing. The 2021 Reporters Without Borders Index shows a fluctuation in rank for Australians over the past year. Wade Howe-Fraser reports.
The 2021 Reporters Without Borders World Press Freedom Index shows Australia ranked 25th out of 180 countries, a slight increase from the year before. However, the 2020 index ranked Australia at 26th, a major decrease from the 2019's index, where we ranked 21st. I spoke with Peter Grest, an Australian journalist, about Australia's press freedom, or our apparent lack thereof.
The press freedom really amounts to the ability to cover those in power with authority freely without fear of prosecution or the persecution. On the face of it, I guess most Australians seem to think that the press freedom in Australia is pretty solid, pretty robust. But the trouble is that when you have a close look at our legislation, you realise that we are without doubt one of the most secretive countries of all Western democracy.
Australian journalists have very little protection for media freedom from our government, unlike other countries who have a Bill of Rights or media freedom being written into their constitution. Whereas here in Australia we have legislation that can be hard to understand, which can lead to being wrongly interpreted.
We've got a whole suite of laws that are notionally focused on national security, but in ways both direct and indirect, they dramatically reduce the space that journalists are able to operate in.
In cases where media freedom issues arise, the press have no legal backing, which also leaves journalist sources unprotected and vulnerable. Peter spoke on the ABC raids by the AFP.
If it's possible for the police or the authorities to use the laws to come after journalists, then they will. And that's exactly what happened in the raids from the ABC, and a similar raid that took place the day before on Annika Smethurst from News Corp, and on a whole host of other cases that have really challenged or tested Australia's commitment to freedom of the press.
In the absence of any legal backing for press freedom, Australian journalists are seeing laws being passed to allow press freedom to be completely undermined. With politicians and government acknowledging the press freedom issue, very little is actually being done to rectify the problem, even though there have been multiple parliamentary inquiries. I asked Peter what he'd like to see be done about it.
Ultimately, we think a constitutional amendment would be the best thing. Short of that, we think we should be introducing a Media Freedom Act. It would force legislators to take press freedom into account whenever they're passing new pieces of legislation. And similarly, the Media Freedom Act would work in the same way for the courts. Those two things we think would go a very long way towards resolving a lot of the problems that we see today.
This isn't to say Australia doesn't have any press freedom. Out of 180 countries, we're still closer to the top. Although for a first world country in a Western democracy, it should be better. In order for journalists and their sources to feel safe reporting to the public, the Australian government need to reevaluate our press freedom.
Press freedom in Australia really isn't as healthy as it should be.
That was Australian journalist Peter Grest speaking with Wade Howe-Fraser. Thank you, Wade.
Another super important part of today is the fact that it's World Rabies Day. originating in 2007 to help raise awareness and bring communities together to improve prevention and control the effects worldwide. Rabies, although fatal, can be cured with a series of shot and vaccines to prevent the virus from taking hold. Fortunately, Australia has only had 3 reported cases of rabies since the virus was first identified in 1996.
Well, that's all we have time for today on the Source News. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us today, because we've certainly enjoyed talking to and mostly at you. Just a quick shout out to our fantastic producer, Jasmine Jazzhands Camp. We appreciate you and love you lots and all your hard work. Thank you to Wade and Kayla and Kelly for being here and joining us on this journey with us today. If you've loved listening or have at least been able to tolerate what you've heard here today with us, you can find us on Facebook, visit our website, just search The Source News. Over and out.